This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see you guys. Good to have you here. Today is a special day, as you can see. We have a baptistry up here. We have a baptism at the two baptisms at the end of the day service. So we're really excited about that. And you guys get to be part of it as well. And it's just good to experience that. Love these guys are going to be baptized, part of our small group even. So that's going to be fun. We'll do that at the end of the service. Today, as you come in, as you gather, if you have the app, open that up. If you're in a small group, you might want to grab one of the small group sheets back there and just write on the back today. We don't have handouts normally, but you can do that in the outline and follow along as well. And in this series, we're calling What Do I Do When? We're just basically saying, you know, what do we do when we face different challenges in life, different issues in life, when there's things that kind of we run into? And what the video is talking about that I love so much, this idea that God is always with us. God is always with you. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, lo, I am with you always to the end of the age, that we are never alone, never without him, never too far away from him. He is always there, always for us, always answering our request, always faithful. He's always with us, and don't forget that. Now, in this series, our verse, our key verse for the series is Philippians 4:13, one that you should know, I hope. If not, this is a great verse to pull out when you're facing any kind of issues, anything that you're going to deal with. And so let's look at that, Philippians 4:13. Let's read that together. Let's pull that up, and it says this. Ready? We're going to read it together. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's try it one more time. It's cloudy out. It's rainy. We need a little bit more energy, right? You guys ready? Let's try it one more time. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the question is, do we believe that today? Do you believe that no matter what you go through, what you experience, what you deal with, that you have a God who loves you so much, that he's going to give you the strength to go through good times, hard times, you name it, he is going to strengthen you. And that is a great promise, as much as being with us, strengthen us through that. Now, each week in this series, we're looking at a different topic. We send out a survey to the church, and we go, here's some things we can look at that people deal with. What do you deal with? What do you want to talk about? And I'm just going to go ahead and apologize, okay, for the day's topic, okay? This is for me. We lined everything up. I did not look at the calendar when we set this up, okay? So today, we are looking at this question, what do I do when I feel lonely? And it's Valentine's Day weekend. I'm going to own that, okay? I apologize. Didn't even think how this lines up, Valentine's Day, and how do you feel? What do you do when you feel lonely? So we're just going to assume God wanted today to be on that. Is that okay? I mean, I'm going to give him credit for this and just say, God wanted to talk about that today. Because it's an important topic. Whether you feel lonely today, whether you feel like you're fully connected, I imagine at some point in your life you have felt lonely, right? Maybe as a kid or something happened in your life where you just felt lonely. Someone you loved moved away, or someone passed away, or you were somewhere and you just feel lonely. Now, it's different than being alone, right? Being alone is okay. I mean, solitude's a good thing. Riding the car by yourself sometime, going for a walk, riding a bicycle, just being quiet, that's a good thing. But loneliness, that's something else entirely, feeling lonely. Here's a good definition for that. Loneliness is that distressing feelings one experiences when there are fewer social connections than are wanted or needed. So it's a feeling, right? Like something's missing. Something's missing. And it's a distressing feeling. It's not a good feeling, right? So you can be alone and feel great, but you can also be in a crowd and feel very lonely. You can be married for 50 years and feel very lonely because you're not connected. I've talked to people, they just don't feel the connections. Now, when we put the survey out, it basically was about 46% of you said you wanted to talk about that. So today's your day. And it kind of matches up one out of two, right? Because in the U.S. right now, they just put out a survey, said one out of two Americans, half of Americans are feeling lonely either all the time or some of the time. And that's a big thing. In 2019, they said we're actually in a loneliness epidemic. And that was before COVID, right? And COVID just made it worse as people feel more and more lonely. And so imagine some of you have felt that. It's really an emotional disconnection, right? A social disconnection. You just don't have what you need. You don't have the connections that you're looking for. And there's existential loneliness, too, where you feel like you're the only one in the universe. You're alone in a big, big universe, and you feel really small. That's even deeper. Now, Forbes came out with a study and an article that went with it in 2023, and this is what it looked like 2 years ago. The 16 to 24-year-olds, about 73% of them experience loneliness sometimes or always. And you would think it'd be older people, but only about 10%, 65 and over, felt lonely. They felt more connected than young people do. And there's several reasons we're going to look at. In Japan, they're so worried about this. There's a group of people that kind of formed this network called the Hikikomori, about 1.5 million Japanese, and they have felt existential loneliness. They actually are pursuing it. And Japan is very worried about their society, what's going to happen to this group of people. What's going to happen to their culture as this group of people come and they have no connections with people? They're not seeking them. And what does that mean for culture, and what does that mean for society? In South Korea, they are actually paying people that are recluses to get out and meet people. Get out of your house. And so that's how it is in the world. Extreme loneliness that some people endure. Extreme loneliness is very bad for our health. It creates high blood pressure. It can lead to dementia. And they say it's as bad as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. So that's pretty hard on our health. So it has physical issues as well. Now, they ask people, why do you feel lonely? Why do they think that the loneliness epidemic is happening? And here's some of the things that people said. Several reasons. One, about 73% of people said that technology is the reason for their loneliness. Like, telecommuting is fun. It's convenient. But you miss social interaction, right? The accidental bumping into people, walking down hallways or lunch, that kind of thing. So it's really practical. But at the same time, if you're in a Zoom meeting, what do you do as soon as it's done? You turn it off. If there's a break, you walk away. You don't accidentally meet people or bump into them during the Zoom meeting. Texts are wonderful for information transfer. They're not good for social connections, right? Even emojis don't exactly say what you're feeling. So they give, like, people can text all the time, but it's really short, and it's just information. Here's what I'm doing. This is what I'm experiencing. But it's really hard to build a relationship like that. Face-to-face is being lost. People don't go to the store anymore. I'm guilty of this, a lot of shopping online. So we miss going to the store and accidentally bumping into our neighbor or someone from work. And so we miss just talking to people. And so that adds to loneliness. 66% of the people said they just don't have time. They don't have time for friends or family. Just got too much going on. So they aren't plugged in that way. 62% said just are dealing with work all the time. Just work issues. Too busy at work. They're thinking about work. They're processing work. And so that they're feeling it. 60% of the people said it was mental health issues. Depression, anxiety, stress. You know what people do when they feel anxiety, stress? You probably do it too. What do? You kind of go home and you cocoon, right? You go in your neighborhood. You go in your house and you turn on the TV or you listen to music and you don't interact with people. And so it adds to it, right? So the stress gets multiplied. You don't have anybody around you to do that or help with that. So mental health issues have driven this. 58% of Americans feel like our society is too individualistic. Other cultures don't have this problem. The Latin culture is very community driven. I mean, people hang out. They hang out for a long time. They share meals. Our Western culture is not the same way. We work, we work, we work. Go home, close the garage door, walk in the house, don't engage with our neighbors, don't know what's going on. We say this, you probably do the same thing. So we go, how are you doing? What do you say? I'm fine. And they go, what you've been doing? You say, I am busy, right? And that's pretty much our culture, whether we're not fine, we don't tell people. If we're like not busy, we don't admit it. We just say, I'm busy, I have a lot going on. Too individualistic. And then 50% said the issue was the fact that they had no religious or spiritual life. The number of nuns, N-O-N-E-S, not N-U-N-S, but nuns, people who don't have a spiritual background, is rising every year, especially on young people. So they're missing that community where if you grew up in a small town, you probably went to a church, you knew everybody. Even a big church, you would know people, and there's not that community anymore. So people have missed that part of their life, and so it's growing, loneliness. And some of you have felt that, and some of you have realized that. People move more, right? They move more than they used to. They leave their homes. And so a lot of things are going on, but that's not what God intended. That's not what God intended from us in the very beginning. Remember when God created everything in the very beginning and he was looking around, and it says in Genesis 1:26, this is what God intended for his creation. In Genesis 1:26, it says this, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." Notice the pronouns. This is the Trinity. This is God the Father speaking to God the Son and Spirit together, one in purpose, fully one, perfectly one, but in relationship. And they're saying, we're going to create man in our image. We're relational. We need, well, they don't need each other. We need each other. But they were just saying, we're so one in love and purpose and mind that you can't even tell the difference between us. And he said, that's what I want for mankind. That's what God said about mankind. We want them to be social. You were created to be social, to have people in your life that could help you. The only thing is God created that he said was not good. You remember that? Everything was good. He looked at the light. He created the world. Everything was good. And then in Genesis 2:18, the first time something wasn't good, Genesis 2:18, "Then the Lord God said, it's not good that the man shall be alone." He looked at man, Adam, and he was lost because he was all by himself. And he was looking at the animals and going, all these animals have somebody. I don't have anybody. So God created woman, brought him to Adam. They had children. So God said, be fruitful and multiply, create a family. Because a family was God's answer to man's loneliness. Here's your family. Love one another. Talk, share, do life together, help one another. And today we see families splitting a lot more than they have in the past, and so we're losing that even more and more. And so people are just feeling this disconnect, and God wanted us to be connected. In the Old Testament, there's a couple of examples of this. We're going to look at Elijah's story here in a little bit, in a few weeks. Elijah, interesting story. He's working for God, doing a lot of cool stuff. And then he looks around one day, and he goes, there is nobody that's serving God except for me. And maybe you felt like that. You're like, I'm the only one following Jesus. I don't see anybody else. And life's kind of going this way. And Elijah basically felt this extreme loneliness. We're going to talk about what that did in his life. We also have King David, who, while he had a lot of relationships at one point, there's a point in his life where he's being hunted and he has no one. And you read the Psalms and you feel his loneliness and he expresses it. In the New Testament, like Apostle Paul is this guy that you think has everything together. I want you to read what he wrote in 2 Timothy. This was Paul at a certain point in his life. And he's writing to Timothy. He says this in 2 Timothy 4, 9-11. He said, Timothy, please come as soon as you can. Can you hear his heart? I need a friend. Timothy, come as soon as you can. Demas has deserted me because he loves the things of this life, and he's gone to Thessalonica. Here's a close friend. He's gone. Crescens has gone to Galatia. He's gone. Titus has gone down to Dalmatia. He's gone. Only Luke is with me. And then he says, bring Mark with you when you come, for he will be helpful to me in my ministry. Can you hear the loneliness? And even in that, when Paul went on his first missionary, he took Mark with him, and they had a falling out because Mark got homesick, and he went home. Next time they went, there was an argument about whether Mark could even go or not, and they said no. And now Paul's going, I need him. I need him. And maybe you felt that way sometimes. I don't know where you are in life, but I know sometimes people get married, and then the person who's not married is noticing all their friends getting married. Were you like that? Like, we got married a little bit later. And so all of our friends were getting married, and then what happens when that happens is like you're still friends, but there's something new. Or did you go through the thing where everybody had kids and you didn't have kids, and it's like, okay, we're still friends, but we're disconnected? Did anybody like me that you had friends move? There was a time when we were in California. This friend would go and that friend went. They all went to Arizona, and a lot of you guys came to North Carolina. It's really good. A lot of people left California. But it's like, man, all our friends were moving, and we were like, okay, what happened? Is it us? You ever done that before? Everybody's leaving. How about at work? You ever been really close to someone at work, and that was your connection, and then they moved on, or you moved on, and they go, I'm missing this. So I think at some point we all feel that, right? This disconnected, maybe a little bit lonely. Maybe you're there now. Maybe you have been there in the past. And maybe you know somebody that needs to hear this. It's always an awkward thing to tell someone, hey, I think this was for you. So maybe ease into that. Maybe someone, this week, someone this week will say, hey, I just feel lonely. Oh, I've got some answers for you. So what do you do when you're lonely? So we're going to look at some things again. If you want to write them down, we don't have the outlines today, but you can just use the back of another sheet or use the app or just remember these things because maybe you need it now or maybe you need to share it with somebody. Three things you do when you're lonely. Number one, use the time to grow closer to God. Use the time of loneliness to grow closer to God because you were created and I was created to have a relationship with God. And let's be honest, when you're feeling lonely, it's when you're most vulnerable, right? You can't solve loneliness like you can solve your car being broken. You can't solve loneliness like you can solve, I'm hungry, I need food, because you can't just create it. You just can't create connections. You can't just get a new friend. You just can't sometimes break through a wall. And loneliness really gets us to a point where we go, I need God. God uses loneliness to bring us to him because we were created for that relationship. Isaiah 57 verse 15, great verse if you've never read this before. This is God. He says, for this is what the high and exalted one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. He goes, I live in a high and holy place, God speaking, but I'm also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit. Like he looks for that. To revive the spirit of the lonely and to revive the heart of the contrite. He's like, God's like looking around and going, okay, where's that person that's feeling lonely? Where's that person that's a little bit crushed in spirit? And he's just drawn to that. He's just drawn to that. Now, if you are a parent or if you're a grandparent or whatever, you ever notice like the kid when they're feeling hurt? What do you do when the little one's feeling hurt? Not teenagers because they don't want anything to do with you, right? But when they're little, what did you do? You just scooped them up, right? And you held them. Sometimes there's no words. You just hold them, and that's what God does to those that are lonely and they're hurting. He says, look, I'm up here, but I'm with those people too. I seek them out. I look for them, and he enters their life, and he wants us to be looking for him. Singer-songwriter Amy Grant wrote a song, and this is one of the lines that she wrote. It says this, I love a lonely day. It chases me to you. I love that. When you're lonely, it's like saying, oh, I need you, God, right now. I need you. I need you to connect with you because there's a hole there. James 4, 6 through 8 says this, but he gives more grace talking about God. Therefore, it says God opposes the proud. In other words, when we're good and we don't need God, he goes, okay, there's a distance here. You don't need me right now. There's a distance. But he gives grace to the humble. It's the person that says, God, I'm feeling lonely right now. I've got a hole in my life. He says, that's who God gives grace to. Then he says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. I mean, come to God. Come humbly before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But here's the part. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. It's like an invitation. God, I need you now. And you draw near to God, and he meets you where you are. When I was growing up and I finished college, I was like, oh, what am I going to do now? Have you ever had that? Anybody else go through it? What am I going to do now? So I did what every average person does in North Carolina. I said, I'm going to move to California. And so I said, I'm going to do that. And I knew two people going to California, my college roommate and his fiance. He was in the Navy. He was going to go to San Diego to go through training. Then they were going to get married in December. And so I went out there too. Did anybody ever feel like a third wheel? Anybody ever, you know what I'm talking about? You ever felt like a third wheel? Now, my friends were awesome. They invited me to things. We did things together. We went to church. We did different stuff. But I definitely, there are times like, they're newlyweds. They don't need me hanging around. And so I got a place. I was renting a room in a house with some other people that were all like me, kind of like, but we weren't connected at all. And what I learned during that time where I was waiting to get residency so I could go to school, I went out there to go to school, but I had to become a resident. I couldn't afford it otherwise. What I found out was like eating alone is no fun. Does anybody ever experience that? I always had a book. And it's one thing to eat in your kitchen at home, you know, alone. But when you're in a restaurant, it's like, especially a restaurant, like you have to sit down with a waiter. And like, they go, how many in your party? And you go, one. Have you ever done that before? It's just me and my book. And so that was kind of a little bit awkward. Going to movies, like now you don't go to movies, people by themselves mostly. But there were four really, you had like, you could watch a movie anytime. So going to the movies is a little awkward by yourself, right? Friday night's a little awkward when you're lonely, like everybody's doing stuff, and you're like, okay, that's great. I got nobody, I got nothing, I'm just going to stay home and read or something. But I noticed during that year it was really hard through all those things. I got a job, and they were nice people, but I didn't connect with them. They all had their own lives doing their own thing. I went to church, and I will be honest with you, I went to try different churches. And for those of you that try new churches, that is hard, isn't it? It's very hard. You walk in, there were some churches that didn't even acknowledge me, and you go, I'm invisible. I didn't know I was invisible. And I would sit down and I'd look around at everybody and go, is there anybody like me in the room? Anybody ever felt that before? Like, yeah, maybe so, maybe not. And you look around and then the service is over and you walk out and you're going, okay. And then somebody might say something and you go, have you ever done this? I've got plans. You want to go to lunch? No, that's okay. I've got plans. All right. I would do that kind of thing. And I noticed during that year that I drifted from God. And maybe you've been the same way. There's something about connection that helps you get closer to God. And I drifted from God and became, after a while, I wasn't reading my Bible, I wasn't praying, all things I used to do. I was kind of like walled off against God, and you're just trying to get through. And that took about a year of my life, a little bit more. I did start grad school, and that helped to have something to focus on. And I think that's why people work really a lot of hours when they're lonely. It's like, I don't have to deal with it, right? I've got something to do. So I worked full-time. I was going to school full-time, and it was actually good in some ways. But one of the cool things that God did was he brought a group of people that were not Californians. They were from other countries and me, all right? California is a whole different country if you've ever been there. They think differently. They act differently. Culture's different. They dress differently. Everything's positive. You can't be negative in California. And I found out I did not fit in. I opened the door for a lady one time, and I was in my 20s, and she got mad at me and cussed at me. She didn't need me to open the door for her. And I was like, you were behind me. I was just going to open the door, and she got mad. I said sir to someone. Like, my parents taught me to say sir, and the guy got mad at me. He said, I'm not that old, or I work for a living, and it's like, I'm really sorry. I had to teach myself not to say sir and ma'am. I had to relearn my whole life. But I was out there, and here's a group of friends, and they kind of welcomed me in, and one of them was a Christian. He says, let's go to church. Let's go to church. And the cool thing is, he went with me. It wasn't just like, let's come to church, I'll meet you. We'll come together. And we got in a small group. It was a really good small group. And we ate meals together. We did Bible studies together. We went to baseball games together back when it was cheap. And it was just fun. It was just a good connection. And God used that time in my life to bring me closer to him. And I think that's what he wants to do during times of loneliness. He wants to bring us closer to him. Jesus said, I want to be your friend. So you can call me friend. If you do what I command, I'm your friend. And that's such a different concept of God, right? I don't know, like we think of God high and holy, and then Jesus says, I want to be your friend. Especially when you're lonely, I'm going to be there for you. So number one thing you do is, if you're feeling lonely, is draw closer to God. Use that time. Seek him out. Number two, second thing to do is talk to God about what you're experiencing. This is a way to build friendships, right? With anybody, talk about what you're experiencing. Have you ever done this with God? Just talking to God and experiencing him. Psalm 142, verses 1 through 3, one of my favorites, says this, I cry out to the Lord. Here's a guy that just says, I'm hurting and I cry out to the Lord. I plead for the Lord's mercy. I pour out my complaints before him and tell him my troubles. When you pour out something, what happens? You have it, and then you pour it out. What's left when you pour it out? Nothing, right? So he says, I've got a lot of complaining. I've got a lot of things going on in my life. I just pour it out to God, and I tell him first. When I'm overwhelmed, you alone know the way I should turn. He says, God, I'm looking to you. And what I love about the Psalms, you can see him doing that. He just starts talking to God. And here's an amazing thing I discovered. You probably knew this already. Did you know that God could read? Did anybody else realize that God can read? I mean, I know he could hear when we pray, but did you know he could read too? I mean, that's what the Psalms are. A lot of them are God-like prayers. Like the people are writing to God. David will write to God. This one, he's writing to God. And he's saying, this is how I feel. When you're feeling lonely, one of the best things you can do is get your journal out and write. And if there's anything left, you haven't poured out all your complaints. You got to keep going until it's all gone. I feel lonely. I don't feel connected. There's nobody that understands me. I need someone in my life. My spouse and I, we're not connecting at all. I'm completely lonely in this marriage. I don't connect with anybody at work. I don't connect with any of my neighbors. I don't have anybody I can talk to. Tell God that. And that's how you build a friendship with God, right? You just talk to him. You can write it. He understands it. He can read. You can talk to him out loud. You can talk to him in a whisper, but tell God. Now, the thing is, what's one thing you need when you're lonely? You need someone in your life. Have you ever prayed for that? 1 John 5:14 and 15 says this, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, to go before God with confidence, that if we ask anything according to his will," and here's the deal, "it's not God's will that you're being alone." Right? He said, that's not good. If you're asking for a friend, if you're asking someone in your life, that's according to God's will, and he hears us. And we know that he hears us. Whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. He's going to answer. So if you're there, take that time to be in prayer. Now, those of you who are parents, here's something you need to be praying about. You need to be praying for the friends of your child. Huge influence. More influence in some ways than you have on your child. Are you praying for their friends? Are you asking God to bring godly people into your children's lives that can pour into them and be solid for them? Because that's one of the most important influences in their life, are good, good friends. And be praying for them as parents and grandparents. So number two is talk to God about what you're experiencing. Number three, and this is for the introverts in here, you're not going to like this one. I'm just going to tell. The introverts, write it down. Think about it later, okay? Take a risk and reach out if you're feeling lonely. Take a risk and reach out if you're feeling lonely. In other words, you're going to have to make a step. It's probably not going to show up for you. You're going to take a step. They did the part of the study they looked at, and they said lonely people have a heightened sensitivity to rejection. Like, lonely people will look around, they'll look at their friends and stuff, and they'll go, oh, they're about to reject me. There's something, it goes hypersensitive, and you're just looking for it. And so what? It's scary to make a new connection, right? It's just scary for some people to go, man, I've got to reach out to somebody else. That's hard. And when you deal with fear, what's the opposite of fear? Faith is the opposite of fear. In Psalm 56:3, it says this, "When I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you." Making friends takes vulnerability. It requires asking somebody to go do something, right? Let's go to a ball game. Why don't you guys come over to our house, walking over the neighbor, here's some cookies for you. That takes some bravery, takes some faith, right? I'm going to take a step to bring someone new into my life. As I was doing this research, I came across this diagram. Here's a diagram of what friendships look like. And you can kind of look in yours, maybe write some names in. But basically, if you look at all your friendships, there's three circles. The outer circle are your casual friends. They're acquaintances. You know their name. You maybe know a couple of things about them. There's little influence on your life, and you have little influence on theirs, and there's little connectivity, right? In other words, you work with them, hey, so-and-so, how was the weekend, that kind of stuff, and then you move on. You really keep it surface level with these, and there's lots of room for those people, right? You could have a ton of people in that range, and maybe all your Facebook friends, whatever, but that's the casual corner, and if you're there only, there's no connection, really, right? If that's all you have, that's the feeling of loneliness. I've just got that. The next one is the close friends. This is the next one in. They know you. You do things together. There's more time. There's more influence. But most importantly, there's more connection. You're connecting with them. You can share things about yourself. This is what happened. This is what I'm going through, that kind of thing. But what you're really looking for is the core. The core is that's who you can be, where you can be yourself. Have you ever had that kind of friendship, or maybe you have that in your marriage where you can just say anything? This is who I am. This is what I'm about. This is what I'm going through. This is what I'm feeling. And that's important to have that friend or that spouse or that family member that maybe you connect with. You need to have that. Now, here's where loneliness kicks in. It's a donut. I don't mean eating a donut. It means the middle is out. There's no core and there's no close. And all you have is the casual. Does that make sense? So you could have people that you spend a ton of time with, but you're not connected, so you don't really have a core group of people. And that's what you're craving when you're lonely. You crave that. In the scriptures, it talks about those people in the middle. Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10 says this, "Two are better off than one," right? Having a close friend is better than having no one, for they can help each other succeed. That means succeed in life even. You need someone with you that's helping you do life. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. And that's what you need in life, right? You're down. You lost your job. You have gone through a hurt. You've gotten sick. You've gotten bad news. You've lost a good friend. And you need that person that will help you when you fall. But then this is the sad part. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. I've got nobody to talk to. I've got no one to connect with. And I'm feeling it. And that person's in real trouble. And it takes a risk to let people into that part of your life. Now, here's the deal. In the midst of that, I'm going to give you two warnings, okay? Here's the two warnings. And some of you have lived these warnings. Proverbs 12:26. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Here's the deal. When you're lonely, you know when you're lonely, what happens to some people? You ever noticed? They invite people in their life they shouldn't because they're lonely. And to fill that hole, they just invite people in that are just bad for them, that lead them in the wrong direction. Parents, this is something you're really keyed in on. You're watching for this because you've seen it. Have you seen a rebound relationship? You ever notice that where they find somebody, just bring them in because they're lonely? Be careful. Choose the friends wisely. Choose them wisely. Proverbs 13:20 says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Look for those people that you want to invite in. They're going to help you walk in well in life. And ask God for those people. And don't give in and accept someone that you don't think God wants in your inner life. Now, when you're lonely, one of the hardest things is to look beyond yourself, right? You just want that void filled. And Jesus comes and turns life upside down. I love what he said in Luke 6:31. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. We call it the golden rule. Here's one thing to think about when you're lonely. Who in your circle needs a friend? Who around you do you know is probably going through a lonesome time, a hard time? And here's a way to get out of feeling lonely. Reach out to them. Who do you know that's been sick a lot? Reach out to them. Who do you know whose spouse is going through a really tough time? Reach out to them. Who in your neighborhood is really just, you see it and they're worn out? How can you help them? Who could you invite over to dinner and just say, I'm here for you? Who do you need to call this week and say, how are you doing? I know what you're going through. I kind of know what you're going through. How can I help? And be a friend if you want to have a friend. Be a friend if you want to have a friend. And reach out. Take that risk. I was telling the first hour that I have a friend that we meet every Wednesday. And almost every week we go to Panda Express. I heard like they didn't like my restaurant, but it's a good restaurant. But that's where we go. And we meet every week and we talk about life. We don't have the same seat every time, but we get the same food every time. And we just talk about, here's what's happening to our kids, what's going on. We pray for each other. You ever prayed in a restaurant, people walking around? It's a little awkward at first, but after a while you forget them. And we read scripture. We read a short passage of scripture and go, what do you get out of this? This Wednesday at Panda Express, I ate my same thing, chicken with mushrooms. I love it. All right. So I'm eating that. We're reading this story. Here's the story we read this week. There is a time where Jesus is preaching, teaching in a room, and it's so crowded that no one else can get in. And there's a group of friends that have a friend who can't walk. And they want to get this friend to Jesus. You know the story? Many of you know the story. They got to get him to Jesus. And there's no way in the room, so they go up on the roof, and they dig a hole through the roof, okay, thatch roof, and they lower the friend down so he can get to Jesus. And Jesus is such a powerful thing. He looks at him, and he goes, your faith has made him well. It wasn't his faith, it was their faith. And he said to the guy, your sins are forgiven, which people jumped on him for, but then he says, if I have the power to do that, then I have the power to give him a chance to walk. And the guy walks out, but it's all because of his friends. It's all because his friends got him to Jesus. And here's something to think about when you're feeling lonely. Look out in your life and go, who can I be a friend to that I can help find Jesus? Or maybe who is it I can just help in life and then be a friend to that person and watch your loneliness kind of go away because you make a friend. And sometimes you want to just to be a friend to the person that needs you. You know, loneliness is not fun. In that story, when I was teaching in California, I was a Christian school teacher, and we had a chapel speaker. He came in twice, Vietnam vet, and he talked about his platoon and how close they were, and one of them was injured forward of them, and they grabbed a stretcher, and they went and got him and brought him back through the lines, and they saved his life. And from then on, they were just close. And you know what he said? He said, those guys are stretcher bearers. Stretcher bearers. And he used this story to illustrate it. He said, that's what you and I need to be for our friends sometimes, is be that stretcher bearer. Who are you going to carry? Who are you going to help? Get over our loneliness by being there for someone else. Get over our fear by reaching out. Use the time to grow closer to God. Let him be our friend. And then move forward. Let God know how you're feeling. Take a risk and reach out. So I want to pray for us now. Then we'll do communion. And then at the end of communion, we're going to have baptism. It's going to be a great, great morning. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your promises. I thank you for the way that you work. I want to pray for anybody in the room right now that may be going through a period of loneliness. And I pray for them to find a friend and to be a friend, and that you will bring someone into their life. I pray for healing in marriages, that maybe there's a distance and there's no connection. And I pray that those relationships will be strengthened and vulnerability will be able to enter again as trust is built and love is built. I pray for any that's just going through a hard time because they have loved ones that have passed and they're feeling that loneliness, that emptiness. I pray, Father, for anyone that's just looking to have someone they can talk to, and maybe we can reach out and be that way and get people connected. I thank you for the friends in our life. I thank you for the family members. I thank you for this church and the fellowship we have here. Thank you for our small groups where we continue just to support and encourage one another. Thank you for the children's ministry where they know they're loved and cared about. I pray, Father, for your blessings on everyone here, those that are doing well, that are at peace, they're experiencing joy. Just multiply that, Father. May they experience it in even greater ways. And I pray for those that are walking through a valley to get through it, knowing you're by them side and you will never leave them. And bless our time. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Before we do baptism, we want to do our communion. We do this every week as a way to connect God with God in a different way. And one of the things we do is connect it to Christ every single week. And this verse we're going to share is probably more appropriate for Easter, but it works anytime. You know, Jesus went on the cross, and on the cross, he didn't have much to say, and he was up there for a few hours. But one of the things he said is in Matthew 27, verse 46. And as he's on the cross, if you remember from 12 to 3, it went dark. You guys remember that? The sun went away, and the people that were there, and only a few of his friends were left. He was on the cross, and he said a few things, but this is one of the things he said. About 3 in the afternoon, it says, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, and here's Aramaic. If you know, this was Aramaic, is in the New Testament. And he cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. And what he's saying is translated there, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's quoting Psalm 22, but they want you to know he's saying, Eli, Eli, because the people are going, he's crying for Elijah. That's what they heard. Eli sounds like Elijah, but they want you to know too, but he's not crying for Elijah. He's crying for his father. And he says, where'd you go? And think about Jesus for all of eternity. He was never alone, ever. He, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all three were all so close, except for the 3 hours on the cross when he had our sins on him. And then the Father turned his back because he couldn't look on the sin. And for those 3 hours, he was fully alone. And he feels exactly what you and I feel. And he's experienced it because our sins came upon him. And that's the only time he's ever felt loneliness in his whole life, his whole existence. And he did it for you, and he did it for me. Isn't that powerful? I think it's just incredible. He goes, I'm going to be like you, and I'm going to take it on, and I'm going to be separated. It's going to be dark, but then it'll be okay. When we take communion, remember that. If you're feeling lonely, Jesus felt it too, even more so. But he did it for you, and he did it for me. And the bread represents his body, and the juice represents his blood shed for us so we could have a relationship with him that would last forever so we would never feel loneliness again because we had Christ. I'm going to pray, and when I'm finished, the tables are on either side. Just receive as you're ready. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this time. I thank you for communion. I thank you for what it represents, our connecting with Christ. It's a symbol of that. It's one of the graces that we do as a church, including baptism and new life in Christ. And we're grateful for both. Thank you for this time where we can connect with you as we prepare to watch two more connect with you through baptism. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So go ahead and receive communion, and then you can return to your seat.